Hi, and welcome to Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. Our guest speaker today is Evangelist Felipe Redlas. We want to truly thank you for joining us today as we study the Word of God. It is our desire that your life be touched, and we pray that the Lord will speak to you with this message. And at the conclusion of this message, we have some important information for you. Please join him now as he begins his message.
So let's go to 1 Samuel, the 17th chapter. Verse number 1. Hallelujah. When you have it, please stand for the reading of God's word. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Everyone have it? Praise God. Amen. And it reads this way. Now the Philistines gathered together their armies to battle, and were gathered together at Shechoh, which belongeth to Judah, and pitched between Shechoh and Azekah. Ephesdamim and Saul, the men of Israel, were gathered together. And Saul and the men of Israel were gathered together and pitched by the valley of Elah. And they set a battle in array against the Philistines. And the Philistines stood on one mountain on the one side, and Israel stood on a mountain on the other side. And there was a valley between them. And there went out of them a champion of the camp of the Philistines named Goliath. Everyone say Goliath. Goliath of Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span. That's about just over 9 feet. And he had a helmet of brass upon his head. And he was armed with a coat of mail, of a metal, a scaled metal type of armor. And it weighed of the coat was 5,000 shekels of brass. Translation had it as 125 pounds. And he had greaves of brass upon his legs and a target of brass between his shoulders. And the staff on his spear was like a weaver's beam. And his spear's head weighed 600 shekels of iron. Can somebody tell me how much weight that is? 15 pounds. And one of the bearing a shield went before him, and he stood and cried out to the armies of Israel and said to them, "Why are you come out to set your battle in array? Am I not a Philistine, and ye servants of Saul? Choose you a man for you, and let him come down to me. And if he be able to fight with me and kill me, then will we be your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then shall ye be my servants, our servants, and serve us." And the Philistine said, "I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together." When Saul and all of Israel heard those words of the Philistine, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. They were terrified and distressed. They were greatly afraid when they heard the giant speak the words he said that day. You know what, church? You may be seated at this time. Go ahead, just be seated. So here is a giant coming against the people of God. And the people, the children of God, the chosen people of God, were afraid of this giant. And so I'm gonna skip through these verses so we can get to the message, what God has given me here today. And it says that there was a young man named David. Anybody ever heard of David? King David, you got it right. Amen. What did King David do? He danced, didn't he? Amen. David was a shepherd. And so now David, hallelujah, David was the youngest of Jesse's children. And in verse 15, it says, but David went and returned from Saul to feed the father's sheep in Bethlehem. And so in verse 16, it says, the Philistines drew near morning and evening and presented themselves for 40 days before Israel. What does 40 days represent in the word? Anybody? 40 represents testing. Okay? 40 days and 40 nights. What does that sound like? Who? The flood, right? Noah. 40 days and 40 nights. Time of testing. Moses sent out leaders of Israel to go check out the land they were supposed to possess for 40 days. Okay? Jesus was tempted in the wilderness for how long? Come on, somebody. You guys are becoming scholars over here. 40 represents a time of testing, and he presented this Goliath, presented himself for 40 days before Israel. Hallelujah. And now David was sent to go down to the camp and present some food to them and check on his brethren. And so David goes down there. I'm going down to verse 22 now. And David left his carriage in the hand of a keeper of the carriage and ran into the army and came and saluted his brethren. You know, hey, bro, what's going on, man? How you guys doing? How you guys feeling? What's going on down here? You know, man, dad says he sends his greeting, loves you all. He's praying for you all. And, you know, here's some food from home. And, you know, boom, boom, boom. So he's just greeting, just being a little brother. You know, it's like, well, man, wow, my big bros are, man, they're military, man. They're military. They're Semper Fi. Man, they're in the army. They're in the Marines. You know, any military people here? No? Everybody should be raising their hand and saying, we are in the army of the Lord. Hallelujah. Come on, somebody. Wake up. The preacher has to wake up. You got to wake up. Amen. So he's all, you know, greeting his brethren and being happy that he's seeing them and know that this is war. And you never know that that might be the last time he sees his brothers. He's the youngest and taking care of sheep. He's a kid. And all of a sudden, in verse 23, and as he talked with his brethren, behold, there came up the champion, the Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name, out of the armies of the Philistines, and spake according to the same words, I defile the armies of Israel. And David heard it. And all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, they fled from the Philistine, the Goliath, and were sore afraid. Verse number 24. And the men of Israel said, have ye seen this man that came up? Surely to defy Israel he came up. And he shall be that the man who killeth him, the king will enrich him with great riches and will give him his daughter and make his father's house free in Israel. And David spake to the men that stood by him, saying, what shall be done to the man who kills this Philistine? And he taketh away the reproach from Israel. For who is this uncircumcised Philistine, and he should defy the armies of the living God? And the men answered him back, told him how it is. Then his older brother heard and spake unto the man and was angered against David, verse 28, and said, why have you come down hither? Who have you left in charge of the sheep? Just like a big brother, huh? Why are you coming on down here? You know, talking to the men over here, the soldiers, and you're just calling it a ruckus. Man, you're just a kid, a little squirt. Man, we're men over here. We're soldiers. Now, get on. Go take care of the sheep. So, you know, I'll just tell you here in a moment. Go and take care of the sheep. I know your pride. I know your naughtiness. Now he's scolding him. You know what? When you start getting fired up about what the enemy is doing against the people of God, or against unjust people, you know, just against people, you know, just if you have something fire up in you, say, you know, whoa, something fired up in me when I heard that Philistine speak up. Something just rose up in me and got me into a fighting spirit. Man, who's this chump? I don't care. He's 9 feet tall. What? You talk about my king, and you talk about my brethren, you're talking about the armies of God, and you're defiling the God of Israel. Oh, man, he rose up and ready to fight, ready to do something for the Lord. Because many of you know the story, right? You know the story. But I want you to notice something. When you make up your mind to do something great for the Lord, or maybe just something minimal for the Lord, but you're going to go out and do it, there will be people that come against you. And your own family will come against you. When you got a revelation, you got an insight, and you're going to do what's right before the Lord, man, and the enemy had you scared, had the people scared, and all of a sudden, you got the revelation, you got the call, and now, man, oh, I'm getting ready to rope a dope. Man, all of a sudden, everybody's against you. The devil is trying to knock out that fire that just rose up in you. Try to take that call away from you. How many of you, when you thought of following the Lord, all of a sudden things came, friends, old boyfriends, old girlfriends, or man, all of a sudden, man, all of a sudden, man, all of a sudden, free dope, free beer, free party, free, woo, all, right? Am I talking right? All of a sudden, they didn't want to give you overtime. No, son, and you're ready to work Sunday, Saturday. Man, give me some overtime. And all of a sudden, you decide to come to the Lord. Hey, I want to give you some overtime. Man, the battle of the enemy starts coming against you. And this is exactly what's happening to David. And you see it throughout the scriptures. Every time you want to get a hold of Jesus, every time you want to get a hold of God, every time you're going to do something for the Lord, something comes against you. Emily, did anything come against you when you came yesterday? Okay. Your ex-boyfriend. You see? The Lord knew that she was going to come. Out of the blue, ex-boyfriend just bing. And all of a sudden, he's looking better than he used to be. Nope. Deliverance. So here is his big brother scolding David. I know thy pride, verse 28. Thy naughtiness of thy heart, for thou art come down that thou mightest see the battle. Man, you came down to just have church. Man. And David, his spirit would say, I didn't come down to have church. I come down to be the church. I didn't come down to see the battle. I am the battle. I didn't come down to see the fight. I am the fight. And we see this in the next verse. You might as come and see the battle. And David said, what have I done? Is there not a cause? Is there not a cause? This man is defiling Israel And our God and our King, is there not a cause? Is there not a fight? Is there not a reason to go out there and take them down? And out of this verse, verse 29, I'm entitling this message for the saints of God, it's time to stand up and fight. Woo, come on, clap your hands to the Lord. God is telling us it's time to stand up and fight. Stop coming to HBO and pay view. What do they call that? Pay view? Pay what? Paid per view. Fight. Come on over my house. Man, I paid extra money to see this fight. Man, I'm not coming to see your fight. I'm in the fight. I am the fight. I'm not coming to church to have church. I'm coming to church because I am the church. Woo! Stop coming to church and be the church. Is there not a cause? Man, he was righteous and indignant. Man, he became a bulldog. I'm ready to fight. Philistine, release me, let me go. Shut up, little bro. Shut up, big brother. In verse number 31, and when the words were heard which David spake, they were rehearsed before King Saul. And Saul heard that word, and he sent for David. And David said to Saul, look what David said. The kid said, let no man's heart fail because of him. Thy servant will go out and fight with this Philistine. Here's a child now coming around and speaking to the king of Israel. Said, let no man's heart fail because of this uncircumcised Philistine. A true worshiper, a true church member, a true saint of God, hallelujah, is going to encourage, hallelujah, when everything else seems that it's fallen. We're going to come and encourage. We're going to come and speak life. Oh, I understand what you're going through, King Saul, man. You know, I see you later. I'm going to go pray in my closet. Yeah, in Mexico. Adios. Get away from this country. No, man, I am the fight. Stand up and fight. Verse 33, and Saul said to David, thou art not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for you are but a youth, your child, your kid. And he, a man of war from his youth. This guy was built to fight. This guy was built to kill. Learned probably all the arts and the arts of the weapons. He was their A-bomb. The atom bomb for them. And David said to Saul, thy servant kept his father's sheep. Now I said, look, king, this is my resume. I kept the sheep of my father. And there came a lion, and there came a bear, and they took the lamb out of the flock, and I went after him. You notice his trait. Here's David. You don't be taking nothing from my father's house. You don't take anything that I have charge of. God was training David in the wilderness. When you're in a wilderness, you think that, oh, everything's, man, God is against you. No, God is training you in the wilderness. But you got to keep your focus on who? When you're in the wilderness, that's your training time. Like, oh, I don't feel the anointing. Pastor didn't call on me today. I brought the beans. said somebody else. He thanked everybody else but me. I'm the one that said, hey, let's do tostada bar. And Pastor, he gave someone the credit, somebody else the credit. God, you've left me. When you're in the desert, it's training time. In fact, I just remember in a scripture, I believe it's in Hosea. It says, the Lord talks to a child of God and says, I'll meet you in the wilderness. I'll meet you. I'm probably paraphrasing, but there's a beautiful scripture where the Lord says, I'll meet you in the desert place. I'll meet you in the wilderness. So when you're going through, don't think God has left you. And you're living for God. Now, if you're not living for God, then that's a different story, child. But if you are living for God and you are in the wilderness, man, it's training time. He's going to meet you there. What verse was I in? There it is, 34. And the lion and the bear, and he took the lamb out of the flock, and I ran after him. And I went after him, and I smote him, and I delivered that lamb out of the mouth of the lion, out of the bear. And when he arose against me, I caught him by the beard, and I smote him and slayed him. Thy servant slew both the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be like one of them. Seeing that he hath defiled the armies of the living God. David said, moreover, the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine. So you see, God trained David already. Man, he trained him. God, he was being trained. He went after the enemy, and he caught him by the beard, and he slew the enemy and took the lamb out. And his mindset, you see what I'm saying? His mindset already now, his mindset was one of a killer. One of a militant, of one with skill and know how to take down the enemy and know how to deliver what's in from his mouth. David was trained, and that's all he saw. When he saw the 9-foot Goliath and everybody running, being scared and terrified and dismayed, and great fear came over them, Goliath saw a bear with his lamb inside the mouth. He didn't see Goliath. He saw a lion with daddy's lamb inside the lion. And I don't know what he's thinking, man. If I go home, daddy going to spank me. That's his mindset. A fighter. That was the training. The word of God is your training. That's why we can't confess negativity. We can't confess defeat. We can't confess, I have diabetes. We can't say that. I'm fighting diabetes. I'm running after diabetes. I'm going to kill that diabetes. I'm running after cancer. I'm going to kill that cancer. I'm going to slay that cancer. I'm running after that depression. I'm going to kill that depression. I'm going to destroy that depression. Because I've been trained in the wilderness by God and by the word of God. We got to renew our mind in Christ. We need to renew our mind in the word of God. We need to transform our thinking. Our stinking thinking needs to be transformed to the word of God. You know, it's something beautiful that Pastor Fee and I, myself, We've experienced praying for people in the hospitals, and when they said they were going to die, they lived. Pastor Fee and I would go and pray, just like how many remember that he came and testified? Do you remember that that guy that came and was in coma for 30 days, Sean, and it came over in the San Diego News and all that, And we went to pray for him, and he got up the next day. You know what? But Pastor Fee and I didn't come. Oh, we're sorry, sister. Oh, man. Well, we just pray that it's a quiet, nice death. You know, and then that he'll go into the arms of the Lord. But Pastor Fee, we didn't come in that way. Oh, sister, I'm sorry. You know, that's just life. I mean, we're born and we die. You know, and you know, that's just the cycle of life. And maybe he'll come out. When he dies, he'll be a butterfly. We didn't come like that. Man, we came. We came in the name of the Lord. The word says, lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Underneath his wings, there's healing. Hallelujah. We have power and authority in the name of Jesus. Rise up and walk in Jesus' name. We didn't go defeated. That's who we are, the children of God. Hallelujah. We speak life. We speak the word of God. Not our words, not our thinking, not what we see, because we walk by, not by. And we got to go out there like that. And you have to know that the enemy is going to ready to destroy you, attack you, what he's trying to train you from a child. The devil is trying to train you since a child. That's why some of you experience being trespassed, being abused, because he was trying to train you to be a puppet for him. That's why the word says that we have to renew our mind. We have to have the washing. We have to be brainwashed with the word of God. I felt that. Woo! I remember when I first saved. Man, come on, somebody. I need to be brainwashed more with Jesus. You go to brain, they're brainwashing you, and they're, Jesus, well, wash me my brain some more, please. Is there not a cause? He slew him, and I did this, and I did that, Mr. King. And Saul, in verse 37, and Saul said to David, go, and the Lord be with you. I mean, a king sees a kid that's never fought. And what's wrong with the king? Okay, kid, go ahead. I want to see how this ends. I mean, what is the king thinking? He's a kid. And Saul armed David with the armor, and he put on the helmet of brass upon his head. Also, he armed him with a coat of mail, that breastplate, that scaly metal plate. And David girded his sword upon his armor, and he took a couple of steps and go, and he had not proved them. And David said to Saul, I cannot go with these. I have not proved them. And David put them off. You know what? You can't go out there with my gift. You can't go out there with my talent. You can't go out there with my relationship. You can't go out there with my armor. Because God gave you your own armor. God gave you your own gifts. God gave you your own testimonies. I mean, we can borrow each other's testimonies. Oh, I know this one, brother. Yeah, I know. Because you have cancer. Well, my wife had cancer, and she was healed in the name of Jesus. And I could pray for you that God will heal you. But God has given each and one, every one of you a testimony. God has given you each and every one of you a gift, a talent to go out and use against your enemy. Amen. And David was like, man, shh. And what could I use here? And here, David, try this machine gun. Well, I've never used that machine gun. I don't know how to use that machine gun. Pretty cool, but man, I felt the power, but I don't know how to use that machine gun. Come on, try this, try that. No, you know what? I have to go with how God has trained me, my relationship with God. I have to go with my relationship. I have to go how he brought me through the storms, how he brought me through the trials. I have to go with my own, hallelujah, walk that I have with the Lord. Everything that he's trained me in, that's how I'm going, Mr. King. And he took his staff in his hand. David took his staff. I mean, what are you going to do with that staff, David? What are you going to do with that staff? He's going to find a warrior that has a sword, has a spear, has all this, and he's coming with a staff that he uses for sheep. I tripped out when I read that. I go, man, you're going to fight. You got your staff. You got your hand already. Some martial arts or something. And he took the staff in his hand and chose him 5 smooth stones out of the brook and put them in the shepherd's bag, which he had, even a scrip. And his sling was in his hand, and he drew near to the Philistine. So I can't use your sword there, Mr. King, but I tell you what, I have my little sling shot. You imagine being in a war. I mean, think of the movies, you know, Vietnam and all that. And here comes this kid. A slingshot in a bag, 5 rocks, 5 stones. And listen to this. And he drew near to the Philistine. Verse 40, and the Philistine came and drew near to David. Verse 42, the Philistine looked upon and saw David and disdained him, for he was but a youth, a ruddy of a fair countenance. And the Philistine said to David, am I a dog that thou comest to me with staves? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. The Philistine said to David, come to me, and I will give you thy flesh unto the fowls of the air and to the beasts of the field. You know what? That's what the enemy does to us. The Word of God says he comes like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Man, that roar of that lion, it just intimidates animals. So they're frozen, they're scared. And that way he just comes and... And that's what the Philistine did to David. I'm going to feed you your flesh to the fowls of the air, to the beast of the field. And you know what? When the devil speaks to you, you need to talk back. You need to stand up and... When the devil talks to you, you need to stand up and fight. We are in a spiritual fight here, church. We are in a spiritual fight. We are in a fight for our souls. We are in a fight, hallelujah, for our nation. We are in a fight for our families. We are in a fight for our schools. We're in a fight for our community. We're in a fight, 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 fight. And we can't just keep silent. And too many of the church is being silent when we should be fighting. And how shall we make war? Make war on the floor. We need to make war on the floor. We are in a fight like we've never been before. There has been a shift in the spirit realm. Even the unbeliever is recognizing it. And we just come to church and sit down and just listen. Well, we should be the church out there and begin to make war on the floor. We must begin to stand up and fight against the enemy. If you don't have a prayer life, you need to start having a prayer life. Because we are in a fight. And that Goliath is coming to devour you. But listen to this. David just doesn't shut up. That little boy doesn't shut up. Thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield. Here's David with the staff and his little slingshot. Here comes a man with a spear and a sword and a shield. But listen to what he says. But I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defiled. I come in the name of the Lord. And this day will the Lord deliver you into my hand, and I will smite you and take your head from you, and I will give the carcasses of the host of the Philistines to this day unto the fowls of the air. And to the wild beast of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. There is a God in Israel, and I'm coming not by my own name, not by the name of David, not by the name of Saul, not by the name of my father Jesse, but I'm coming in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And I'm ready to stand up and fight for that name. I wish I could talk to every college student right now, every Christian man, shut your mouth, hallelujah, and get out there and open your mouth for the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah, open your mouth. Stop shutting your mouth and open your mouth. No, professor, I disagree with you. Man, professor, roar. Teacher, roar! Man, you know what? Everybody should bring a slingshot. Just get a slingshot. Everybody just get a little piece of leather with a little slingshot and just begin to go, you know, when they start acting up with you and you just bring it out. Just go. I bet you they'll trip out, man. What? I mean, they'll shut their mouth. What are you doing? I come in the name of the Lord. You ever heard of David and Goliath, sir? You ever heard of David and Goliath, ma'am? Well, guess who's David in this story? Your children act up. You better shut up, little Goliath, because your bottom is going to get red right now. So here now, David talking smack back to the Philistine. I'm not taking your mess. Verse 47, and all the assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with sword or with spear, for the battle is the Lord's. The battle belongs to God. The battles that you are going through, if you stand up and don't go in your own name, but go in the name of the Lord, the Lord will fight your battle. So it's time to stand up and fight. Church, it's time to stand up and fight. For the battle is the Lord's. Isaiah 54:17 says, there is no weapon. No weapon that is formed against you shall prosper. And every tongue that shall rise up against you in judgment, thou shalt condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and the righteousness is of me, saith the Lord. There is no weapon. No A-bomb. No knife. No gun. No words. Nor contract. No snare formed against you shall prosper. Exodus 15:3. You might want to see it because some of you might be shocked with this one. Exodus 15:3. Just write that down. The word of God says, anybody have that? Exodus 15:3. Somebody read it to me, please, because I don't want somebody to say, you lying like a dog. Say what? The Lord is a man of war. The Lord is his name. Highlight that. The Lord, because there's so many people like, oh, God don't like nobody. God is not nobody. God is just love. He love. He not gonna hurt nobody. There's no hell. There's no hell. God is love. There's no hell. You better stop that. Did you hear that? A lot of Christians are saying that. There's no hell. God wouldn't make hell. God is love. Shh. God is a man of war. And God created hell because of the war that took place in heaven. In fact, the word of God says that heaven suffereth violence. And violent, the violent, that means us, we need to become violent and take it by force. Oh, yeah. Lucifer, Satan, try to take over heaven. Try to take over God. He a fool. That's the real fool right there. Saying you a fool. Try to take over God's stuff after you see him do what he does and you try to make a revolt. Or you try to fight and take over heaven. And the Bible says that hell is an enlarging itself. You know why? The angel's already there. But Satan is deceiving so many Christians, deceiving so many sinners. And they're going to hell and it's enlarging hell. God's not taking them there. They're going there all by themselves. Because they won't take the exit plan. God designed an exit plan. Repent of your sins. Be baptized in the name of the Lord. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. Live for God. Obey God's word. Study yourself to show yourself approved with the word of God. Live holy, live separate. Live holy for I am. Man, there's an exit plan, very simple. Like Pastor Fee said the other night, not a 12-step plan, just one plan. One step. Jesus. That's Jesus in Spanish. The Bible says, to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, with all thy strength. Matthew 22:37. Isaiah 36:26, it says, a new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. And I will take away the stony heart of your flesh and out of your flesh, and I will give you a new heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes. And you shall keep my judgments and do them. How does that happen? He removes your stony heart. And you have to be filled with God's spirit. When you're filled with God's Spirit, you have God's Spirit in you, God's new heart in you, and now He gives you power to overcome sin. So whatever sin you're in, if you are in sin, He has given you power to conquer it. He made the way so we don't have to go to hell. So here he is, David. The Lord saved not with sword nor spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and I will give you into, and he will give you into our hands. Watch this now. Watch. We just talked about David's training in the wilderness. Now watch this. And it came to pass that the Philistine arose. That's it. I'm going to take this little boy out. And he came and drew nigh to David. Okay. So he rose up. He said, now he's coming down. Boom. He's coming down. He's walking, that earth shaking. He's marching out to David. 9 feet tall, a mean machine coming down to meet this little boy and destroy him. Draw nigh to David. Now listen to this. David hasted and ran toward the army to meet this Philistine. David, he's walking and David's coming again like this. He's running to the devil, ready to take him out, because he doesn't come in his own name. He comes in the name of Jesus. He says, come on. I'm going to take you down, Goliath. Woo! You walk and you think you're all bad, looking sharp and everything, like you want to be on CNN and Fox, looking good and all. David, come on, you're gone. David is running to the fight. David is running to the fight, man. Here's the brothers in the whole army of Israel. The trained military. What do you see, dude? What do you see? I don't know, man. Hold on. David's running to him, man. He's going to die. Those tests and those trials, hallelujah, they're for a reason. They're for a purpose, Emily. Hallelujah, not to take you out, but to bring you in. Not to break you down, but to build you up. Stop shaking in the corner. Stop hiding away from Goliath. And don't go by your own strength. Stand up and fight. Whew, man. Come on, Goliath. I don't come to you in my own name. Church, it's time to stand up and fight. It's time to stand up and fight. Man, when I saw that, David ran. He ran. That's what am I the only Bible that says that? Is that saying in your Bible 48, and David hasted, he ran toward? He ran towards them. It says as he's running, man, here's David. He puts his hand in his bag and then brings out a stone, brings out the rock. He's bringing out the word. Hallelujah, hallelujah. He's bringing out the rock. Who is that rock? Our rock we stand on is Jesus Christ of Nazareth, the chief cornerstone. Bringing out the rock. bringing out the word. Hallelujah. And that's how we're going to slay Goliath by the rock. Slang it. The Bible says he slang it and smote the Philistine in the forehead, and that stone sunk into his forehead. Man, I'm going to force the word in your head, boy. And you're going to die. And he fell upon his face to the earth. So David prevailed over the Philistine with his sling and with a stone, and smote the Philistine. He smote the Philistine and slew him. But there was no sword in David's hand. There was no sword. He had a staff. Man, he's down already with one stone, man. There's no sword. No sword. David ran upon the Philistine, took the sword and drew it out of the sheath thereof. He had to borrow a sword out of his own enemy. Man, when you fight the devil, you take his own tools. You'll take his own sword. Hallelujah. You know, you meant this to slay me with, to kill me, but guess what? No weapon formed against me shall prosper. Hallelujah. God is going to do a double reverse. Takes out his sword, that big old sword. You know what? David already killed him with one stone. The Bible says in Romans 8, I have it here. In 8, I believe 37. 8, it says that that we are more than conquerors through Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. I believe it's 37. Yes. 8:37. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Hallelujah. You know what? We conquered when we killed Goliath. David conquered when he killed Goliath with one rock. But being a more than a conqueror, hallelujah, you'll get that sword and cut off the head of the enemy. That's being more than a conqueror, and you stand right on him. Come on. That's what he did. Killed him already, but more than a conqueror, cut off the head. You're not going to live again. We are more than conquerors, church. That's what God says in his word, that we are more than a conqueror. You got to get that in your mindset. You got to get that in your head, that we are more than conquerors, not just to kill the enemy, but we're going to kill the enemy and we're going to cut off your head. And when the Philistines saw their champion was dead, they fled. We are more than conquerors. And then the men of Judah arose and shouted and pursued the Philistines. And when Saul saw David go forth against the Philistine, he said unto Abner, the captain of the host, who was chicken too, who is this youth? Go find out for me who this young man is. He was used of God. And now, being used of God, now God is going to bless him. Hallelujah. I'm sure Saul's daughter was fine. I mean, not just fine, but fine. She was fine. David, what do you think? She's fine. Got a girl. Got to live in the palace. Tax free. That's what it says. His family became taxed. No more taxes for them. Jesse's family. When you begin to stand for God, church, God will begin to bless you. You have the tools. The Word of God says this. It says, he that findeth his life shall lose it, and he that loses his life for my sake shall find it. We need to lose our life in Christ. The Word of God says this. It says that in Matthew 16 and 24, It says, and Jesus said to his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. We need to lose our life in Christ, church. For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man shall come in his glory of his Father with his angels, and then he shall reward every man according to his works. As I said, I believe last night or the other night, one of the nights, is what you're doing in your life worth Jesus dying for? How you're acting in this life, is it worth Jesus dying for? What you're doing for the Lord, is it worth Jesus dying for? Is it worth Jesus dying for coming down? Oh, I'm going to die for you because you're doing this. Church, we need to renew our minds. We need a new perspective in the things of God. We need to prioritize our lives. We need to prioritize our lives. We need to change some things. We need to put God first and high and exalted and lifted up. Way up there by himself. Lord, you're in a category. I can't even say priority number one. You're in a category all by yourself. And I don't even start with number one because that belongs to you. I start with number down here. I remember the day of my deliverance when I had to confess to give acting to the Lord. My alabaster box, I gave my acting to the Lord, and I couldn't even say it. I mean, my mind was made up and everything. Lord, I give you my... I could not say it. And I was brought up as a Catholic boy, and my mother always taught me, you put God first, there's nothing impossible for you and God to do. That's how my mother brought me up. God first, God first, God first, God first. And man, the day, and I thought I was putting God first. But I found out that day, this is my acting, and this is God. I found out it can't get that close. He has to be high and exalted and lifted up. He has to be all by himself. There can't be nothing close of yours to him. Only your devotion, only your love, and only your worship. But God is talking to the church. I'm talking to each and every one of you as saints of God. You need to prioritize. You need to start making a list for yourselves. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. And begin and say, how much have you spent time with the Lord today? You ate today? You went to make money today? Talked to your girlfriends, your boyfriends today? And how much time are you spending with the Lord? Went to a 4-hour movie today, but how much did you spend time with the Lord today? And we are in a fight. And that's the main point that God wants us to know today, that we need to stand up and fight. We need to stand up and fight. There are people in leadership over this country, over this nation, over this community, over our states. Hallelujah, because the Christians are not speaking up, because they're not fighting. They're trying to take all our rights away. They want to shut the church up for good. Since you guys are shut up and not doing anything anyway, we're going to make it a law for you to shut up. Ooh, I felt that. Since you're not saying anything, you know what? We're just going to make a law so you don't have to say anything. Because you're not saying anything, church. And the leaders, unfortunately, Pastor Fee, the leaders, those who can make a difference of Christian leadership, They're shutting up because they don't want their kingdom to fall down. And every Christian leader should be coming together and saying, brother, man, we got to do this together. And not be afraid to lose a tithe payer. But the church, the congregation, can make a difference. Even when the leaders don't. Because we make war on the floor. And we have to manifest what belief. We can't just sit at home. We need to stand up and fight. We can't just sit at home. Look at David. Look what he did. He manifested his self from his belief in God, the offense that this devil did. And that's what the government, that's what the world is coming against us. They're making offense to the church with a smile. And speaking two things at the same time. They'll speak scripture and do the opposite of scripture. It's a trick. It's a deception. Because they say something about the church and then we'll say, oh, see, they're speaking scripture. See, they're talking scripture. But if you see their life and the way they voted, it's not the scripture. It's a double tongue. It's double-mindedness. And we need to watch these leaders. If they're talking scripture, and we know that we're supposed to live by scripture and live our life in the world by scripture, and we see that they're voting that way, our leaders, our senators, our presidents, our vice presidents, all these leaders, our governors, everything. Okay, you know what? You are talking scripture, and you are acting like scripture. You might not be a Christian, might be in church, but at least you're doing what's right. This word right here, this is instruction and direction. This is government. And there is a lying devil out there that says separate state and religion, separate state and church. That means state, stay out of the church, not church, stay out of the state. That's how the devil reverses it. And you know what? The church buys it. And we begin to speak that out too. We speak that out. That's what we say. Oh, state and church. So that means, no, that means state stay out of the church. But if we don't stand up and fight, if we don't do that, if we shut up, we are going to be told and it's going to be made law to shut up. And you know what? In fact, it's already that way. There's already a law. In effect, that leaders are not supposed to tell you who to vote for. They could break it down, but they are muzzled to a certain point. And that's in law. In fact, Trump is trying to take that law, remove that law. Did you hear that about that? He's going to allow the church to speak what they feel and say, hey, look, this candidate, hallelujah, he's not according to the scripture because, look, this is how he voted. He voted to kill children. He voted to do this. He voted to do that. He voted for this. Everything against scripture. Church, stand up and fight. Don't just talk. Fight. Don't just come to church. Be the church. Don't just come to the battle, be the battle. Don't just come to the fight, be the fight. And I'll fight you with a smile. Get out there, church, and fight. Get out there and fight. No matter how big Goliath seems, just know your God is bigger. Woo! Hallelujah. Come on, clap your hands to the Lord. Just know your God is bigger. Hallelujah. Come on, let's stand, church. Come on, give him praise. Hallelujah. Woo! Our God is bigger. Stronger. Come on, brother. Preach it again. Give me another word. What? mightier, smarter, awesomer. Hallelujah. What, JoJo? Who's JoJo? Oh, all right, JoJo's preaching today. I had to use some of his stuff. Hallelujah. Church, it's time to fight, 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 fight. Fight, 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 fight. Is there not a cause? When you see something that's not right, you have to say, is there not a cause? And do what God has called you to do. Get your sling out, man. Excuse me, Ariseli, what are you doing with that sling? I am the fight. I am the fight. Emily, what are you doing when that rope just swinging around like that? I'm the fight. Hallelujah. Yes. Hermana, what's your name? Jessica. I was forgetting your name. Jessica. What are you doing with that sling? I come in the name of the Lord. I showed up for the fight because I am the fight. Everybody shout, I am the fight. Shout it again, I am the fight. Shout it again, I am the fight. Shout it again, I am the fight. Woo, come on, give God glory. Give God glory. Woo, I am the fight. Hallelujah, and I come to fight in the name of the Lord, not in the name of Felipe. I am the fight, I am the fight, I am the fight, I am the fight, and I come in the name of the Lord, and I'm going to knock you out, Goliath. Glory to God. I come in the name of the Lord. The Lord is my battle axe. Ha, hallelujah. He is my, hallelujah, spear and sword. Hallelujah. I carry the sword. The sword, hallelujah, is the word of God. I carry the helmet of salvation. Hallelujah. I've come to the fight. Hallelujah. I carry the shield of faith. Hallelujah. I come to the fight. I come to fight and knock off. Kill, slice your head off. Hallelujah. I've come to the fight because I am the fight. Hallelujah. I want you to know, church, that he was a child. He was not trained as a militant man. Hallelujah. So just know that. You might say, I'm not educated. You might say, it's not me. I'm a quiet person. I'm a man, just show up for the fight. He might be that quiet person, should have never said anything, and said, everybody sees you as mousy. Oh, there is no God, there is no boom, and then you just, everybody's sitting down in class, and you just stand up and just do this. Here, let's see one of these young people. What's your name, hon? You, Alexis. What are you doing standing up right now as I'm talking and saying there is no God? Alexa, sit down. What are you doing? Well, Miss, name a teacher. A bad one. Mrs. or Mr.? Well, Mr. Perez, I showed up for the fight. And what fight is that, Miss Alexa? Well, I came to defile the armies and the gods of the Philistines. What? Yes, Goliath, I am David. Hallelujah. And I come in the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Woo! it. I mean, that's all you have to do, Alexa. Just show up and fight. Man, that everybody else would be like, whoa. Oh, you know what? Oh, I'm just remembering something. I'm just remembering something. Lord just brought something to my head. Ay, caramba. I was part of a college group called Upward Bound. Everybody ever hear that before? Yeah, Upward Bound. Okay, and I'll let you go. Okay, I know it's late. Oh, it's not that late. So I was part of the program, and there was a lot of fighting going on within the students and everything like that. And I'm like, I didn't like that. It's wrong. And I remember, I mean, in Upward Bound, if you remember, there's different type of religious backgrounds, and there's a different type of race in Upward Bound, so they like to mix it all up. So we had Vietnamese people, we had Filipinos, Mexicanos, we had African American. I mean, we had just a mixture of stuff, a mixture of religions. And I hated that fighting. It was messing up our program. And I remember, you know, and I'm doing this for the glory of God, but I just remember the power of being the fight and coming in the name of the Lord. And I was not even a Christian there, but I had a cross. And I put the cross on the chair. On a chair, you know, because we were all supposed to share something, do something. We're supposed to do something. And I just came up and I put the chair because I hated fight. I hated tension. I hated all that stuff. I just love for everybody to get along and have a good time. And that's, you know, all that stuff. And I remember I got a chair and I took off my cross and I put the cross on the chair and I began to kneel down and everybody's tripping out. What is Felipe doing? And I think I said a prayer. I don't even know if I said anything or just it was said. I think I said, Lord, help us to get along. And I remember this Vietnamese guy, he wasn't even believing Jesus. He stood up and started clapping, everybody just like, woo! And then it changed the atmosphere. It changed something. Something took place. God showed up because someone stood up. And there was fellowship once again in our Upward Bound program. And we're all getting along. That simple act. God just brought that to my mind. It was like, wow. I am crazy. I am. But you know what? We got to be crazy for the Lord. We got to make a stand. And I'm just saying, we need to make a stand, and you all have that authority. You all have something. You all have a relationship. You all have a testimony, and it's time to stand up and say it. Amen. It's time to humble yourself before God. Amen. Submit yourself to God. Resist the devil, and he shall flee. The enemy comes like a roaring lion, seeking who he may devour. He comes to kill, steal, and destroy. But Jesus Christ came to give us life and to give it to us more abundantly. We have power in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Will you give him praise, church? Hallelujah. Come on, shout thank you, Lord. Shout thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Tell the devil I'm showing up for the fight. Because I am the fight. And I come in the name of the Lord. Come on, clap your hands to the Lord and thank him. Woo! Jesus! Glory! Hallelujah! Gloria a Dios! Woo! Man! Thank you, Jesus. Come on, everybody, just show up. Get everybody, come in the middle of the aisle here. Come on. Hallelujah. Woo, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
If you're listening right now on the internet, and maybe you just were surfing the net, you came across Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship, and you're hearing this message right now, and you may not even know who Jesus is, I'm going to ask you right now to pray with me that God will show himself mighty to you. He will come and visit you right now by faith. Pray this prayer with me. Lord Jesus, I thank you. I do believe on your death, burial, and resurrection. I do believe that you died for me. I believe, God, that the blood that you shed on the cross will cleanse me of all my sins. And on the third day, you rose again to give me life and life more abundantly. Lord Jesus, forgive me now, God, of all my sins. Come into my heart and make me a new person in Christ Jesus. And from this day on, I'll do my best to serve you, Lord, all the days of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed this prayer by faith, God, through the authority of his word, has saved you. I pray that you would find a Bible-believing church and that you would grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And all of our sermons, all of our notes, all of our PowerPoints are free at charge. Just download them from your computer and be blessed.
The Bible says, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, as many as the Lord God will call. And that's our exhortation to you. We have many ministries available here for you at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. For a complete list of them and to download all of our messages and sermons, please log on to our website at www.acts2-38-39.com or email us at amazing_grace@cox.net. From all of us here at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship, may God bless you and thank you for listening.